President Biden vows to stop a business line that Moscow very much wants if Russia attacks Ukraine. I'm David Brancaccio. After meeting with Germany's Chancellor Olaf Scholz yesterday, President Biden said if Russia invades Ukraine, he will bring an end to what's called the Nord Stream 2 natural gas pipeline. The new pipeline runs from Russia to Germany, circumventing Ukraine, which itself profits from traditional gas routes from Russia to the West. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now with details.
The Nord Stream 2 is finished, but it's not up and running yet because it still needs to pass muster with German regulators. If it's not shut down, it'll bring natural gas from Russia to Germany. Russia will make money by selling gas to a big market. Germany really needs gas supplies now. Europe's supply of natural gas is already very low because of a cold winter last year.
And Russia already sends natural gas to Europe. How does this new but not yet authorized pipeline change things?
Well, some natural gas from Russia takes a longer route to Germany, as you mentioned, David, through Ukraine. Ukraine is a sort of pipeline middleman and charges a transit fee. The Nord Stream 2 goes directly from Russian gas fields to Germany, running under the Baltic Sea, and it would double the capacity of the original Nord Stream, which also goes directly from Russia to Germany. There are fears the new pipeline would further weaken and isolate Ukraine.
And this new pipeline, number two, contributes to Western European dependence on Russian gas, and that's a consideration.
Exactly. President Biden is worried about that, and he's always opposed this pipeline. Biden says the U.S. and other countries could replace a significant portion of Russian natural gas if Russia cut off Europe. That wouldn't happen overnight, though, and terminals used to export U.S. natural gas are already working at capacity.
Nancy, thank you. Language has power. Central bankers just talk about raising interest rates, and people sell real bonds in the real world, driving up interest rates. The benchmark 10-year rate is up sharply again this morning, 1.96%, the highest since the summer before pandemic for the 10-year. Jeffrey Cleveland is the chief economist at Payden & Riegel in Los Angeles.
You know, inflation has been high for some time, but lately central bankers have said, okay, now we're going to do something about it. And that's, I think, what is pushing up the 10-year yield that you're referring to.
Jeffrey, we also saw some trade data in for the month of December. The U.S. is importing a lot, but with all these supply chain bottlenecks, maybe that's not such a bad thing.
Yeah, in normal times, people look at the trade deficit as a negative. But now, with good imports actually at all-time record highs through December, it could be a sign that we are importing more, and that will go to replenishing the depleted inventories that we've seen, and that will overall be good news for the consumers. And maybe that ultimately, David, rather than interest rate hikes, will be what brings down consumer price inflation a bit this year.
Always good to talk to Jeffrey Cleveland, the chief economist at Payden & Riegel. Thank you.
Have a good week.
Early in pandemic, there were hopes the tech industry could help mitigate the spread with smartphone-based tracing of who bumped into whom with COVID. Google and Apple collaborated on exposure notification technology that individual states could use to build out apps, but half of all states took them up on it. So what happened? Here's Marketplace's Savannah Marr.
When these apps were first being developed, Jessica Vitak was paying close attention. She's a professor of information studies at the University of Maryland and a self-described privacy zealot.
Privacy and security needed to be at the forefront.
And she says they were at the forefront of Google and Apple's technology. It uses encrypted Bluetooth data rather than GPS location data to keep track of which users have been in close contact.
I mean, I added the one for my state, and I had no concerns about doing so.
Vitak says it's all the other apps on your phone that are spying on you. But in some states, uptake rates never broke the single digits.
It's been a tremendous disappointment and a tremendous missed opportunity.
The U.S. Government Accountability Office looked at whether these apps are worth the millions spent developing and marketing them. The GAO's Karen Howard says those tight security measures may have actually backfired.
because the states have so little data on who downloaded the app, where they were located, whether they got a positive test, whether they input that test result.
And without that data, it's hard to measure whether the apps are effective.
Or whether they could be effective with tweaks.
But some tweaks are exactly what these apps need, says Joanna Mazel at the University of Arizona.
So it's often been described as building an airplane while you're flying it.
In other words, we shouldn't throw in the towel after a rocky first attempt during a pandemic. And she says the tech giants involved could help with some modifications, like putting the technology on all smartphones and giving users the choice to opt out.
And then you've instantly solved the adoption problem.
And making the app friendlier to scientific research.
Even if the technology failed to completely stem transmission, it would still gather data that would be invaluable.
Google declined an interview request and Apple didn't respond to one. Mazel says we'll want these apps in better shape for the next COVID variant. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
And another piece of tech that was all the rage earlier in pandemic, but is less so now, is the exercise bike by subscription Peloton. Well, there's news today. Peloton boss John Foley will step down as CEO, but will become executive chair of the company. The new CEO will be Barry McCarthy, with experience as a senior Netflix and Spotify executive. Peloton is reportedly laying off about 20% of its corporate jobs, 2,800 people. The Peloton stock spiked 20% yesterday amid unconfirmed talk that Amazon might like to buy it. It's up another 14% right now. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.